Welcome back, my fan of thieves, and welcome to the Pain of Fools podcast. I am the Pain of Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome to the Gamer's Den. What's up? We back. Continuing along the story of Persona 5 Royal, or some say Persona 5 Royale. I am so excited. I do notice that we are approaching the end. We are in Sai's palace, and it's just getting more real. I'm still just not trusting Akechi. I'm not sure what's going on. It's getting all over the place, and I'm anxious to get to the story, to get to the twist, because I know there's going to be a twist. There has to be, but let's finish through Sai's palace. Where we left off at, I was approaching the House of Darkness. Yes, it was the House of Darkness. I go in there first. We encounter a mini boss battle. And then I enter through another door to start that particular game in the House of Darkness. First things first, it's actually dark in that room. In order for me to see, I have to use one of my innate abilities called the Third Eye, which helps me to see around and see things that would be otherwise hidden from plain sight. Sometimes I can find places I can jump along, or like item chests are glowing and things of that nature. So it just changes it almost like it inverts the colors of the room and dims things and changes the sound, the environment, the soundscaping. It makes it sound all a bit different to fit in this ethereal moment of you exploring another part of your mind to see things clearer. So I have to use that ability through the whole point in this particular House of Darkness, because I can't see with my regular eyes. And we're in there. It was a short maze, to be honest. It was shorter than I anticipated. I thought I was going to be in this place for a minute. I got through this House of Darkness in about 10 minutes. I crawled through a couple vents. I defeated the Game Master in there, and I ended up getting some coins. I think it was 10,000. And I know that it cost me 100,000 to cross the Bridge of Judgment. And so I ended up fighting the gamers, the game dude, what is it called? What is his name? The Game Master, whatever. And I was already done. All right. Out of there, I go to the other room across called the Battle Arena. And I enter there just as quickly. And this room dealt with, I had to battle alone. And it was like this Colosseum type of situation where in order to win 100,000 coins, I have to beat 3 levels of shadows at different difficulties. It cost 10,000 to get in, so I ended up betting the amount that I would just won to then basically meet that $100,000 coinage. The battle starts off handicapped. I go in there, of course, by myself. It's not a one-on-one battle as I thought. Of course, it's all rigged. It's all meant for me to lose. So the first battle was like, I think two monsters. The second battle was 2 monsters, and the third one, no, the first battle actually had 2 Ganesha. So I fought 2 Ganesha, and I used my persona called Bugs, which is like a teddy bear, to defeat Ganesha. And I then had the second battle, which I forget who the shadows were, but I used Anubis and his bless ability. And the last monster was like this tall, semi-strong monster. I used Bug for that too. And I won the coins easily and made my way up to the huge room of that Bridge of Justice, basically. As we're cashing in the coins, though, Shadow Sai's voice echoes throughout the room, and she's telling us that we worked hard but will never proceed to the manager's floor ahead. She mentioned something along the lines of, I forget what her words were exactly, but she basically made us now, she changed the rules and made us have to raise 1 million coins, making everything more difficult and just playing games, rigging the system further and just stretching moving the goalpost, which, you know, if you've ever been involved with the court system, legal system, you feel like there's always some goalpost move depending on how much money you give and or don't give and the different stages of the trial. You may feel like, yo, there's no progress. Anyway, so Futaba yells that she can't give us an impossible task like that. And what I thought about when Futaba said that in the real world, I thought about just how Sai was given that impossible task of finding out who the Phantom Thieves are. You know, at the hands of the Special Investigations Unit puppeting her, just the games that she's experiencing, but now she's passing on to us within her own palace. So Akechi's like, you'll need 1,000,000 coins, yes? Well, I already have them right here. And I'm like, okay, like this is different. So he was like, if you recall, we already told that we could borrow as many coins from the casino as we already held on the card. But Akechi pulled a card out of his pocket that Futaba made as a fake and secretly used it to gather coins. So he outsmarted the system place against us, and on that card he had 910,000. And he added the remaining balance to mine, which brought our total to 1,010,000 coins. It made me think, all right, so Akechi, I'm sorry, y'all, I don't trust him. I will never trust him. Anyway, Sai is all like, this can't be, you know, and the scales lower, we cross over the chasm, and we enter the manager's room. And right before us in the center of the room, flanked by two spiraling staircases, is the treasure. And we have more dialogue with Sai about how she won't lose, and now this is a matter of life and death. And Makoto was like, yo, you're sounding a little crazy, sis. Like, this, I don't like this, but we gotta send the calling card now so that the treasure materializes. I'm wondering what the treasure is going to look like, because I'm always thinking, of course, you know. We come to the conclusion, just in our conversation about the treasure, that each palace is what symbol initiated them into those desires, or caused those desires to distort. It's similar to how our symbols we least expect play like a, they play a critical role in our personality development, or maybe self-imposed limitations. Sometimes we have limitations, or sometimes we whatever it is, we carry symbols that some would deem talismans that connect us to a moment in time. I mean, you could, if you wanted to, form that into, or wrap all those core memories up, or wrap that experience up into a visual piece or an item. For instance, for some, it could be a door, you know, just the thought of a door or a closet, the backseat of a vehicle, or perhaps the top of a mountain, or maybe just the top of a shelf, or its heights, depths, a belt, a fluorescent lighting, or a certain smell. Certain things, just, it's a critical memory, and it shapes our identity. And for many of us, it shapes our aspirations. And Makoto was just like, you know, I think Sai's treasure is a police notebook. You know, she says that their father passed away because the police were using him. And that's why Sai believes that justice is meaningless and that there's no point in living a subservient life. And his death is why she inspired to become a prosecutor and basically became obsessed with winning. So Akechi's like, Sai's heart must be exhausted from living in such a competitive world. Honest beliefs alone are not enough to get you through. Even I understand that pain, which is why we need to change her heart. I'm like, yeah, right. You already know. I'm like, with Akechi, I'm disliking him, but I'm slowly working on me. You know, I'm not as distrustful of him, but I'm just suspicious. We end up leaving the palace and we go on with the heart changing. And we're back at the hideout, and Ryuji's like, and so when do we send the calling card? The sooner the better, right? Akechi's like, no, we should wait until right before the time limit, the day before the investigation. And Makoto, in all of her inquisitiveness, she says, what's your reasoning behind that idea? Akechi says that Sai is a realist. Even if she believes the Phantom Thieves exist, do you think she knows how they steal hearts? There's also a chance she expects that she herself will be targeted. Aharu says, well, because her heart is ready for any possibility, the calling card may not have an effect. Akechi says, well, theoretically, I believe so. So wait until we're driven in a corner to act. If we do so with no time to spare, Sai would become agitated. Makoto says, which ensures the treasure would actually appear. Sounds logical, impressive, but it's a bit vexing that you know more about my sister than I do. And then he says, only because of my work as a detective. Now, the dates right now, we're on a, I have to give you the date specifically. Right now, it's November the 14th in the game. We have until November 20th before sending the calling card. Akechi proposes that we send it on the 18th. So that leaves me 4 days. So I go into Mementos to complete some requests and I build my confidants in between these 4 days, namely Akechi and Kasumi, who I think I finished, and Dr. Maruki. We do that. Now Mementos, I think I said this already, but Mementos is in its own sense, its own world. I mean, it doesn't require a lot of, I mean, it could because of the different floors that it has and the words for it, but that's its own case. Maybe we'll do, probably will, do just a little conversation about Mementos and the different levels as it relates to the collective unconscious, but how each floor has different words in Hebrew. Anyway, it's November 18th now. I'm in school, and as I'm walking into the hallway, Dr. Maruki calls out to me, and he asks me to see him during lunch. Now, it's his last day, of course, as I mentioned, I think, 2 episodes ago, I think. It's his last day in the school, and there's something he wants to chat with me about. So here we are. He says lunch is on him, and he'll have something special. So we cut to an assembly where the announcement that he's having of him leaving, and he's saying bye to everyone, and he shares that he learned a lot about the different conflicts everyone faced this year, romance, financial issues, and their studies. He also says that if anyone's situation becomes too painful to endure, that it's all right for them to escape their problems. He doesn't want a single one of any person to think that an unfair reality they've been forced into is the only one that they have to live. He said, we deserve to spend our days in happiness and our existence in this world as an amazing miracle. All the positive stuff, he's saying. He went to bow out, and popped his head on the microphone, and the students laughed. I didn't expect that to happen. Then he leaves the stage and everyone starts crying in the auditorium. Makes sense, you know? Anyway, now I'm with him in his office for the last time. He brought us both tempura bowls, the deluxe size bowls. We eat, and then we get to the conversation. He says he has big news, that his paper is finally complete. Remember, he's working on this paper about the psychological papers, heart-centered stuff. Just, he was asking me questions throughout our time building our confidant relationship together. My apologies. He's been working on like building our relationship together, but he was interviewing me just to help more on his paper. So he thanks me as he says that my participation with him aided in completing it. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, all right. Now, I remember in LeBlanc, he was at the bar talking to Futaba about cognitive science to where she like left and was like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so I'm wondering if this is what this is about. So he says, please allow me to express my gratitude to you once more as a most helpful student of Shujin and as a phantom thief as well. Y'all, I damn near flew through the roof of my house. I was like, yo, all this secret stuff coming out, all this tea being spilled, who's the culprit? Because all I'm focusing on right now is the culprit. Who is the culprit? Is it Dr. Maruki? Is it Akechi? Is it someone related to the Special Investigations Unit? Yo, what if it's Sai? Like, who is it? I don't know. Is it Shido? We don't know who it is. The music, though, I remember when he said that, the music went to a screeching ass halt. And I literally said out loud, girl. I was playing like, girl, oh no, like, what is this? So then he's like, why don't you look at the title of my paper over there? So he leans over and glances toward this huge book. And the title of the book says, interpreting reality through cognitive science and the alteration of reality via external influence. He's like, you know, the Phantom Thieves Act of changing hearts is rather reminiscent of cognitive science in practice. They infiltrate a reality that exists solely for their target, a reality whole separated from one that the public recognizes. By access, that world they gain the means of permanently altering their target's cognition. That's what I hypothesize as being the change of heart you induce in your targets. Yeah, I'm thinking he had also something to do with Futaba's mother. It's just, you never know. So how he found out that I was a phantom thief? He said back in April, he caught me coming out of an individual's reality that he'd mentioned. He said, I appeared in the back alley near the school. He saw Ryuji and he saw An. And then shortly after, Kamoshida had his change of heart. And he's been researching cognitive science since he was a grad student. And he was attempting to directly interact with a person's cognition so he can help address pain and despair. And for certain reasons, his research never became acknowledged in academia. He says he has no intention of telling anyone about it, and if we doubt him, we're free to change his heart. But he thanks me again and he shakes my hand, but I don't trust him. Sorry, y'all, I just don't. So, yeah, that whole cognitive science thing, and remember, the cognitive science in Persona is spelled with a P. So science is P-S-I-E-N-C-E. It's spelled a little different here. So, you know, that psi, that PSI deals with like mental and that whole piece. So it's not necessarily mental, like brain. It's cognitive as a brain science, but it's also psychological and all that fun stuff. But also, I would even say occult or spiritual, because there is a piece to that too. I gained some specific skills and I got this ability to fuse a special persona of the Loconsultant Arcana, and that ends our time together, or so I think, because he says, I'll see you. He said, well, basically we'll see each other again is what he said. So, you know, my ears are perked up. My antenna are up. I'm like, nah, I don't trust you. You probably are the culprit or something. And who knows? Anyway, we're back at the hideout and we're talking about who's going to deliver that calling card. And so Makoto agrees to do it, and she's going to just tell Sai that it came in the mail. She's going to set it in the mailbox or maybe hand it to her directly. I don't remember exactly. On the card, it says, Madam Sai Nijima, a great sinner of jealousy, you have lost yourself amidst your obsession with success. For its sake, you are even willing to promote injustice as justice. So, of course, she's heated and she says that she's going to catch them first. So she picks up her phone, right? She calls the Special Investigations Unit director to inform him that she received a calling card, right? He tells her to stand by. He also, get this, he also transferred the case to capturing the Phantom Thieves to someone else. This is mad shady, because remember, he was on the phone talking about setting her up. Her, I'm assuming, would be Sai, right? Mad shady. All of a sudden, after she gets her calling card, now they want to transfer the case over. It's almost as if someone, like, who knows? Someone is writing them out, because there is no way. Anyway, it's infiltration day. We head straight in for the treasure, but it's missing. So we shoot up one last elevator in that manager's room, and we meet her over a screen in the high limit room. Now, it appears that we're in some type of game or this roulette table that she set up for us that she gets to control from behind the screen. Now, she says, when her father died in the line of duty, she hated his killer from the bottom of her heart. Dying to uphold justice sounds virtuous, but the ones left behind have to clean up the mess. Can you imagine the hardships I had to endure? Justice cannot yield to evil. I must win no matter what. Akechi's like, yo, I overestimated her. I thought her reasoning would have been more noble somehow, but this is nothing more than self-righteousness. But yeah, we're on this roulette table. And the battle begins, and we have to basically bet to win or like play these games. And she rigs it. So whenever we bet, we lose and she attacks us or whatever she does, I forget. But we figure out how to break her tactics, battle her, and then we win. Now, of course, Makoto is a bit upset about the whole ordeal. And Akechi is all dumbfounded, like, she's a shadow. Like, why are you so, like, you know. But when Sai first started off, briefly, let me rewind for a bit. Sai briefly started off as a human in the battle. And then she changed to this form called Leviathan, which looked like some Silent Hill character with a arm that had an electric chainsaw. It was just extra Silent Hill-ish. I don't know, but when I thought of Leviathan, I didn't think of that. But, you know, Leviathan means a lot to different people. Okay. Makoto, back when Akechi was dumbfounded at why she seemed so heartbroken over Sai, Makoto said that she doesn't think it's wrong to bring light to evils which can't be judged by law. You know, and that's all the Phantom Thieves have been trying to do. But twisting the truth for your own personal gain, Sai, just think back to the feelings you had when you first wanted to be a prosecutor. Think about your justice. So, as she's speaking, Yusuke comes and says, "We got the treasure." And Akechi's all, "This was a great experience for me. Great deal that we made. To think I'd work alongside the Phantom Thieves, but this shall be the end of our working together." And then Futaba interrupts everything, saying that there's enemy readings outside. The shadows are still restless even after defeating the palace ruler and stealing the treasure. Now, I think this is bringing me up to that point where we were in the beginning and the shadows were popping up everywhere. And I'm like, all right, this is crazy. Are these shadows actual police officers? Like, what is this? It's weird because they were like agents. Some of them were a lot of shadows and some of them were like agents in black suits. And like, you know, the whole security ear thing and all that stuff. So Makoto suggests that we split up. Our party is just too big to travel together. You know, it's too risky. So I decide to act as the decoy. Like I thought, we cut to the opening scene of the game now. All that stuff. And what this means to me is that we're approaching the end and I don't want this to happen. However, people who have Persona 5 Royale or Royal say that there is more to it. So my anxiety is instantly just discharged. They left me, you know. So, you know, we run along the chandeliers and the fixtures above the casino. We're at top speed running, right? I make it to a platform, encounter a shadow, and then my persona, Arsan, comes up. He tells me that I progressed well. I run through some doors after that, and I get cornered by more shadows. Kasumi comes through to save the day. She's doing some stylish attacking and she helps me leave by diverting their attention. Now, I didn't talk about Kasumi yet, but I will get to her. But she is another Phantom Thief. Well, somewhat of a Phantom Thief. But it's major, y'all. Like, everyone is inside this casino and they're all after me. Even with her distraction, it's just not giving. Like, they're still coming. So at this point, the only way out is through the stained glass, which, of course, by jumping through the same glass, you're now outside, and that's a high jump. So I jump through the stained glass, and I end up out of view from everyone. But as I fall down, I do like the stylish little flip in the air, and as I'm breaking through the glass and all the glass is shattering and all the glistens and the beauty, I get caught. And this brings me to the interrogation room. Handcuffed to a chair, water tossed in my face. I'm clearly beaten, bruised, and disheveled, and surrounded by agents getting stepped on. I'm getting punched and framed, basically. The officer grabs a notepad, starts reading off charges, and he's saying obstruction of justice, blackmail, defamation, and possession of weapons. He hands me a notepad to sign my name. Forcing me, actually, to sign my name. And we cut to November 20th. Sai is walking up to the interrogation room, immediately stopped by police detectives, asking what business she has there. The Special Investigations Unit director tells her that she isn't permitted a lot of time on the case, even though it's hers, you know, since he set all this up. And Sai has a little more dialogue with the detectives, and then we cut to the subconscious prison, or the Velvet Room is what it's called for those of you who don't know. But that subconscious prison is the Velvet Room. And they tell me that I have to recall the bonds I form with my allies to get through this predicament. And I'm going to stop right there to pick up towards the rest of this story that's, at this point, making me sad because I'm like, yo, I think it's over for real. And even though the royal players are saying, no, it's not over, it's just, to me, it is. It's bringing me closer to the opening. So that's the only pieces of it. That's the space I've set in my mind as, like, that's the beginning, but that's also the end. And now we're at that point. So what is this, you know? So we're going to come back with the rest of the story. And I am, man, I'm excited. But Lover Muffins, my Phantom Thieves, we will go deeper. Because although I haven't gotten deeper into it, I really just have been going on with the story and speaking on little things and pieces of things that are relevant socially. I think we should just get a little deeper. Because, of course, the game has a lot of pieces to this puzzle that make it so much more fascinating. It's deeper than psychology. Yes, it delves into the occult, but it's like, it's just good stuff. The creators of these Atlas games are amazing, but I'll catch you guys later. Until next Thursday, Lover Muffins. Peace.